Blog Talk Radio.
The Yakuza Radio. Love the name, Yakuza.
Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, J. Cat Morris, along with my co-host, as always, Eric Williams. What's up, Eric?
I'm doing all right, Jay, and another fun, exciting show tonight. And here on Yakuza Kick Radio, and what a night we have planned for everybody.
Yeah. We'll be talking about the CZW show that went on this past weekend that, surprisingly, we both attended. And
yep.
You know, I thought it was a great show. We're going to get into that. Our guest tonight is going to be Tyler Veritas, and we're excited, you know, for everybody to hear that. And it's going to be a good show. As usual, we're going to go over that NFL thing that I failed so horribly at week in and week out. And
bro. There's always next week.
And then, and then we'll see where it goes from there. So I guess we'll get into the CZW stuff first.
Oh, you don't want to talk about football first? You don't want to talk about football?
No, I don't.
No, okay.
So, to start out the show, they had a dark match, but I missed the dark match. I was,
I saw the dark match.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe you want to share your feelings on the dark match, because I wasn't
even
in the
building yet. The dark match was the dark match, and it was between American Kickboxer and versus Tarek the Legend, two old school IWA Mid-South guys, and match was what I expected. About a 6-7 minute match, and fans are always in good spirits, chanting "This is boring" at every chance they can get. But that's the South Philadelphia faithful for you. You know, what are you gonna do about it? You know.
Yeah, you know the Philly fans are. Well, they're their own breed of people. I come from Jersey, you know, so it's, you can't blame me. But whether it be football, baseball, wrestling, they're pretty vicious fans, and some of them just like to hear themselves talk. You know, that's well known. So they had to deal with that shit all night, and it definitely got to the point where it was quite annoying. But certain matches they couldn't even get off the ground. But to be expected. They started off after that, once they started the show. Ego came out, and, he started, cutting his promo and saying what he thought was wrong, and so he decided to unmask and start going by the Ego, Robert Anthony. So, he's full heel now, of course, and, it's a new look for him. I think it's cool, they had the whole challenge between him and Moxley, and then, of course, Moxley accepted, and that would be later on the card. The first match, came when Alex Colon fought Jonathan Gresham. I did not like this match, although I was really, really high on this show. There's just a few things I didn't like at all, and this is definitely one of them. Jonathan Gresham, he's a good talent. I think... he's definitely got some good stuff in the future. I think that they could work him in a lot of different spaces, and I think he could build up there. Alex Colon, I've never been a fan of, and this match, I could speak for this match just alone by itself and say that everything he did, it was, he was just like going through motions, and it was just everything looked extremely telegraphed. Like you knew he was going to throw a clothesline like, you know, a half hour earlier. You know, just shit like that. It just went down really just predictable, and there was no personality. It didn't feel real, you know. But that was just my own personal opinion on it. I don't know how you felt, Eric.
What do you mean, the Cologne match, you mean?
Right.
That match was awful. I mean,
yeah.
Cologne doesn't even deserve to be in a ring. I mean, I'll be honest with you. The guy doesn't look like he's... Some of it looks, you know, like you could definitely tell it's like... You could tell it's like, you know, choreographed and, you know, real fake and shit like that. It just doesn't look good.
Right.
You know?
The next matchup, they had Ruckus versus our guest, Tyler Varitas, and Veritas, I should say.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Pretty bad. But, no, the match was good. I liked the match. It was a little short. But, you know, other than it being a little short, they went the direction where Adam Cole, you know, being the heel too, he came out and kind of distracted Tyler, and, you know, it gave Ruckus the win. So,
it was a good match, and, you know, we'll hear Veritas, Tyler's thoughts on his match with Ruckus, as
right.
One of the things that we'll go over in the interview. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it was a good match. So, you know, we went from there, and we had Nick Gage was challenged by Greg Excellent, which I think is a terrible idea, you know, for anybody to challenge Nick Gage. And it turned out to be so in very short order. He made short work of Greg Excellent. It was a quick squash match. It was entertaining to me. I don't think Greg liked it very much, but, it was what it was.
Yeah, it was what it was. You're right.
The next match, they had a four-way, which is pretty much like the teaser to the tag tournament matches that they have going on, you know, in the upcoming month or so, you know, until Cage of Death. They had Rich Swann, Amasis, Sabian, and Ryan Slater. And I thought the match was pretty good. The only problem I did have with it was Ryan Slater. I think he's pretty horrible to me. I mean, he beat the shit out of the air around the wrestlers in that match. Like, I don't know what the air around the wrestlers did, but he put an ass whooping on it. Like, I don't think he made contact with anything in that match. So that kind of ruined it for me. But other than that, I mean, you know, the other three in the ring, I mean, they whipped each other's ass. I mean, they did a lot of quick moving spots and a lot of cool shit. You know, so I definitely liked the match quite a bit. You know, I just think that was like a negative aspect to it. But, you know, maybe it'll get better. You know, what can I say?
Well, that's one of those matches that was I think a lot of miscommunication on the part of, you know, whoever, you know, Rich Swann, you know, kind of screwed up a couple times. And, you know, Sabian screwing up once or twice and...
Yeah, I just don't remember any of that other stuff going on. I thought the rest of it was pretty good, but that's just, I don't know. You know, like I said, I mean, it's kind of a teaser to the tag tournament thing anyway, so, you know, we're going to have, other showdowns, by, you know, with these guys, so we'll see what's up.
By the way, a person in the chat room sent me a message saying Alex Colon sucks.
Oh yeah, I just
his name's in the chat in the, you know, the message box. Mike Williams. He just sent me a message saying that. So
okay.
You know.
Oh yeah, I'm not
no,
a fan.
No relation.
But, you know.
No relation.
Right. Yeah, I'm not a fan, but you know, I've changed my mind on people before. Like, you know, there's people who've proven themselves to me. Like when I never fucking liked them to begin with. So it's you know, it's not a death sentence. It's just some shit that I feel right now. Just not a fan. So, the next match, well, it was scheduled to be Devin Moore versus Danny Havoc. And, you know, they had a good start out to the match. And then 13 of Billy Graham came out, you know, from Cult Fiction.
I marked out.
And, yeah, and you know, to distract and try to break up the match. So, you know, Scotty and Drake come out, and you of course think that, you know, Drake and Scotty are going to run off Billy and 13. The next thing you know, Drake just starts blasting people with one of those water jug bats. Just blast Scotty in his head, blast Devin Moore, you know, I mean, just went crazy, you know, just straight. And Billy Graham at 13 just sat ringside in folding chairs and just clapped and just sat there and enjoyed it, because what it is he didn't turn Cult Fiction, he turned heel, you know, so obviously as Cult Fiction being heels, they could sit back and enjoy, you know, the tirade that Drake's going on, because it's the same guys that they were fighting, so, you know, it works as a pretty cool angle, and I know a lot of that crowd was surprised, like, definitely surprised, so, yeah, it was really cool. I was definitely surprised myself, and, I mean, the crowd was chanting, "This is awesome," and, you know, they definitely showed their respect for that, so.
Yeah, I mean, the whole angle was awesome. And,
yeah.
By the way, you know, we were talking about this offline yesterday, and it goes to prove that another CZW worker is checking out our show for the very first time, and that is, manager Rodney Rush is checking out our show for the first time.
That's cool. So then they went off that. We got the announcement that I expected and, I had heard rumors of, and I was really hoping they were true. They wanted to announce it on the show last week. You know, we talked about Jersey All-Pro and the things that they have going on, and they have a lot of really good stuff lined up. But the big, big news to me, because I can only get so many places so many times, you know, per month, and it's pretty much one, and it's always CZW. So, Just you know, money-wise, and, you know, I got three kids. You know, I got a lot of stuff going on. I can't just hop out to every wrestling show that happens, even though I want to. It's just not, you know, not in the cards. So, you know, for this to happen, this enables me to see two companies that I love and big, big shows on the same day. So Saturday, December 11th, it will be Jersey All-Pro's 13-year anniversary show at 4 o'clock at the arena. And at night is Cage of Death. I mean, I just don't know about too many other good days that you could plan, you know, anything better than that.
I'm so pumped for that night.
It's going to be unbelievable. That whole day is just going to be really, really good. You're going to see two completely different rosters. I mean, these guys aren't going to be burnt out, because half of the card won't be on the night card, you know, and vice versa. They're not just going to drain these guys out and ruin Cage of Death. These guys, I mean, they got a big Japan talent coming in, you know, and it looks like, I mean, from what they're hinting around, that they're going to be facing Nick Gage, which, you know, I mean, if you go down the list of guys that might be in that, any one of them is fucking fantastic. So, you know, that's going to be great. And then you got Jushin Thunder Liger coming in for Jersey All-Pro. So, I mean, the international talent in that building is going to be top-notch. I think it's just going to be a day to be remembered, day and night to be remembered. So everybody that could possibly make it there, you know, you don't have a choice to make this one or that one. Come and spend the whole day, 4 o'clock, you know, until whenever Cage of Death's done.
Come earlier and enjoy the South Philadelphia. You know, there's fucking food, places everywhere. There's places to chill out, you know, just relax, hang out, walk around the town, you know, walk around the, you know, around the city, and then come back at 4 o'clock and see Jersey All-Pro, and, you know, it's going to be awesome, you know what I'm saying? Hopefully, you know, everybody that wrestles that night is going to put their fucking A-game on, because I don't want to hear, oh, I fucking phoned it in, I fucking did this shit. No, this is fucking Cage of Death. This is fucking Jersey All-Pro's biggest fucking show, the anniversary show. You know, Rodney Rush even sent me a message. You can also hang out in the parking lot with the boys. You know, fucking good times.
It's always a good time.
Yeah. But, you know, I don't want to hear no. I'll, when we talk about the show, after the show, I want this show to come off as the best show, you know, the best weekend ever. You know what I'm saying? I'll be there, you know. You know, so you know it's a good weekend when I'm there. Yeah, my ego. Yeah, my ego just fucking popped, went nuts. But, yeah, like these guys, I mean, Jushin Thunder Liger coming to back to Philadelphia since the, you know, the last time he was in Philly was 92 for WCW, I believe.
Yeah, and we're looking at Jushin Thunder Liger versus Mike Quackenbush. They were originally going to do Best of the Light heavyweight series in Philly. But what they're having is they're having a two-night anniversary show. They're doing the first night in Rahway on that Friday on the 10th, and then they're going to do their Best of the Light heavyweight in Rahway. So they're going to do their, you know, I think it's like an eight-man elimination, you know. The match is unbelievable. They put it on every year at their anniversary show. So rather than make it another eight-man, you know, on the Philly show, they're doing one-on-one, I believe, first time ever. Jushin Thunder Liger versus Mike Quackenbush.
All right, now I'm even more fired up. You just fired me the fuck up. Because I thought, no, I don't want to hear the fucking, like, Rodney Rush just put quack, like, fucking question mark. Like, no, that match is going to be fucking, Quack and Liger is going to be the best fucking, the two fucking technical wrestling. I think, you know, Quack has never got his real fucking due. You know, he's gotten his due, but he fucking...
Well,
he's got
a whole fucking company. I think he's pretty
much... can't put himself over in that company, though, because that's his company. He'll look like a fucking ego. I mean, they brought Christopher Daniels in, and when I had Mike Quackenbush on my my other show, he said his one dream match was work Christopher Daniels, and he didn't work Quack at that show. He worked Hollow Wicked and Eddie Kingston. You know what I mean? Like,
right,
like really.
Right.
Like, if he... You know what I mean? Like, he's... This is his first opportunity... You know, it's going to be a big match, and I'll be honest with you, I'm looking forward to it, and a lot of people are like, why? Like, you could have put somebody else in it, but you know what? This guy's been around for a long time. This match is going to be one of those matches that the young guys can watch and say, hey, this is how it gets fucking done. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, it's going to be a great match. I'm sure we're going to see a lot of new innovative technical moves. I mean, these guys, you know, Quacky, he's got a million different holds and, you know, ways in and out of things, and you got a legend like Jushin Thunder Liger. So it's definitely going to be a special match. They're also going to have the Briscoe brothers in Philly.
Petty Hart in Philly, too, I heard.
Yeah, I haven't heard that officially announced, but I would imagine he is coming back to the company on November 20th to start doing, you know, shows with them again. So it's definitely a big thing, but... You know, off of announcing that, I got to get back to the card because we pretty much just cut off the CZW card. So the next match was it was a fantastic match. I mean, the match was just unbelievable. Of course, you got douchebag Boring Chance before the guy's locked up for the fucking Delta ring. Adam Cole versus AR Fox, and that was a really good match. Real back and forth. You didn't know who was gonna win. Towards you know, that was a very good junior heavyweight title match, for sure.
I think the match was awesome, and AR Fox and Adam Cole really went out there and gave, you know, 110%, you know, and, you know, proved why Adam Cole has a contract with Ring of Honor. You know, I'll be honest with you, you might, you know, shit on Ring of Honor, and people, you know, people might, oh, blah, blah, blah. Adam Cole deserved the contract. Adam Cole's a great worker, you know what I'm saying? Like, AR Fox starting to, you know, fucking, you know, impressed me. It was my first time seeing AR Fox after all this hype about AR Fox, and I'll be honest with you, I think AR Fox can do, you know, some stuff that other people, you know, I mean, he reminds me of a lot, you know, he has a lot of good potential. He has a lot of potential, you know.
Right.
Very, very young, and, you know, that walk up the fucking, you know, the post and does the moonsault. Like, come on, really? This guy is so athletic. It's not even funny.
Yeah, he's very athletic and he's very innovative. You know, so that's always exciting to see in a match. You know, Adam Cole being like a great straight up wrestler, you know, and can do a lot of different things. He was able to pull, you know, all the elements of that match together to make it a good story worked match. And really, you know, it worked really, really well. So, I liked it. Next match you had, the Ego, Robert Anthony, versus my co-host's favorite wrestler, John Moxley. And,
oh, here we go. You
so,
had to bring this up. You definitely had to bring this match up. And I'll be honest with you. I'll be honest with you. I thought the match was decent. I mean, I'm not going to shit on the match because it was good. You know, it's different. It's different to see that kind of match out of Moxley, you know, because usually, you know, you see Moxley wrestles technical, basic match, and this one he kind of went out of his, you know, his element and did some good stuff, and man, I'm not gonna just sit there and look stupid, but
right.
You know, Moxley did all right, but, you know, like I said, I'm not a fan of Moxley, I never will be, I don't know. Don't get me started.
Hilarious.
Don't be playing no ribs on me and getting Moxie on the show, because I'll just sit there and look, you know, and
look
you'll be like, hey, I got
like
questions.
Said,
I'll be like,
absolutely.
I'll be like, what?
Yeah. So we'll see about that. We'll be in negotiations. But anyway, I thought that was
okay.
A great match. You know, it had that good, you know, super heel feel. It's the first time to me that Jon Moxley really kind of turned that corner as a face, you know, like he was actually trying to be a face a little bit. And I haven't seen that from him in the past, even though me and, you know, a lot of other people like him, you know, will cheer him and stuff like that. He was always still playing the heel, you know what I mean? So it was cool to see him, you know, it seemed like things were turning that way, but to see, you know, full circle and he was actually, you know, coming off as the face, I think that was pretty cool. And, only kind of scary, because usually when you see that face turn, there goes your title. You know, Drake, you know, had the title for a long time while being face and stuff. But a lot of guys, you see them change heel or face, the next thing you know, a new guy's got the straps. And he's got an upcoming match Saturday, as a matter of fact. No rope barbed wire against Nick fucking Gage. So we'll have to see where that...
Rodney disagrees with you on this, and he says, no, he isn't a face. He's a fighting champ.
Okay. Well, you know, face fighting champ, he seems like he gives a half a shit about the fans now where he didn't give one before. So just my outlook as a fan, you know. And then, of course, we had the main event, the reason why, you know, everybody was so hyped and I think they didn't even want to give half these matches a chance because everybody was dying to see the main event.
Those motherfuckers were like acting like assholes the whole night, and it pissed me off.
Yeah,
you know,
there was a lot of them just.
That fucking
just
shit
like
was bullshit.
Self talk, so that's all. But the main event, Homicide versus Sami Callihan, was fucking unbelievable. I mean, if you pick that DVD up when it comes out for anything. Get it for that shit and enjoy everything else you get with it, because it was a great show. There is no reason why anybody should be upset with this show, you know, that attended it. And, you know, all the guys who worked it busted their fucking ass. And, you know, it's great to, you know, see that type of thing. And Side and Sammy, man, yeah, they kicked that match off strong and just brutal, brutal shit, man. It was... exactly what I would have expected out of them, and a lot of times you get let down when you have high expectations, but this was not one of those. It lived up to everything it was supposed to be, and I thought it was great.
I thought the match was fucking phenomenal. I mean, Sami Callihan goes to prove once again that he is probably the most most underrated wrestlers on the independent scene right now, and I have to agree with you, you know, what you said off air about, you know, I think we were talking about, like, what guys from the indie scene do we see, like, getting signed by, you know, the WWE or TNA or getting, big break in 2011.
Right.
And I think we both agreed that Sami Callihan will get his just due, because the guy's amazing. The whole promos, you know, his whole gimmick, his whole, you know, wrestling style is different than anybody else in the indie scene. And the guy's amazing, and he's just a fighter. And I don't know, maybe that's just me, but the guy is fucking vicious. And maybe that's what he's, you know, I mean, that's his gimmick, but like I said, like, that match was fucking awesome. I remember me and you talking about this when we first heard that Homicide was going to be coming to CZW, and I think I said something along the lines of, would be like, I would love to see Homicide versus Sami Callihan, and I know you agreed, and then like 2 weeks later it was announced that Homicide was versus Sami Callihan, I kind of laughed.
Yeah, it's you know, he does have great, great talent. There's a lot of guys who I think could make it in WWE, especially with them turning the corner with, you know, a lot of indie talent that you normally wouldn't see in the past there. know, you've seen a lot of names that we were just watching not that long ago, right, in, you know, in front of us. So when you're seeing these type of guys get signed, then you got to look around the indies and say, well, who could make it or who could be the next one? You know, well, this guy, he might need to work on this, or this guy, he might need to work on that. Sammy, to me, just comes off as a total package. It's, you know, the gimmick, the ring work, the promo, everything about it, everything really comes together, and I think he's ready for anybody who wants to sign a deal. I mean, it's obviously his personal decision and, you know, issue to work out, you know, contract-wise or whatever, but I think his phone should be ringing over there because he's got quite a body of work, so.
Right. I mean,
yes.
I mean, it just, and like another thing that I, you know, I want to, you know, quickly break base on is that, you know, there's a lot of guys, you know, that are, you know, they're going to be getting showcased at Cage of Death as well. And hopefully we see Sami Callihan in a very big match in Cage of Death. And,
right.
You know, hopefully,
yeah,
you know.
Another thing that happened after that Homicide match that I got to, you know, mention just because of the matches they're going to have this weekend was Joe Gacy ran in the ring and tried to take advantage of, you know, Homicide having just beat Sammy and tried to, you know, expose him in a weak point and jump on him and stuff. And Homicide stood for a few minutes, you know, a few seconds of that. And then he stepped in and he was about to drop him on his head, but I don't know what happened. So,
can you say a botch because fucking, you know, he couldn't get up on a
fucking
Homicide
bench. Didn't botch nothing. But,
Gacy fucking, you know, didn't jump. Motherfucker was like a fucking.
He jumped the fuck out of the ring when he was about to get.
Yeah, he fucking realized he couldn't get up on
his
fucking back, so
and,
he fucking rolled back. Yeah.
So because, you know, he tried to take out Sammy and everything, he's got to face Sammy, you know, in Massachusetts this Saturday. Anybody in the Massachusetts area, definitely check that shit out. It's going to be crazy. Because, I mean, you got Sammy versus Gacy. So Gacy's going to have to live up to all the little, you know, backhanded bullshit he's been doing. And, yeah, so that's going to be something. You got the No Rope Barbed Wire match, world title, Nick Gage versus John Moxley, as we already mentioned.
West Melody champ.
You never know, man. You never know. But, then we also have Danny Havoc versus 13 in a 200 or more than 200 or something like that, about a 200 light tube match.
Oh,
which
boy.
I think is going to be insane just because, you know, 13, he's never seen 200 light tubes, you know, in a ring he was standing in before, as far as I know. And, you know, for him to step up to that level and against a guy like Danny Havoc who's seen a few of those, or at least in – you know, if you combine all the stuff he's seen 1,000 light tubes, you know, thousands, like 200 in a match really doesn't scare Danny Havoc too much, but it's going to be interesting to see how 13 handles that. You know, he's got Cole Fishing on his side, and I'm sure that'll weigh quite a bit for him, but it's going to be an interesting match. I'm definitely looking forward to that. So you got those two crazy hardcore matches, you know.
Yeah.
All for violence.
Yeah.
And then they're also going to... Yeah. They're also going to have a non-tournament match with the Irish Drive-By versus the Osirian Portal. I think that's another really good match to look forward to if you're in the area. If not, you know, pick up the DVD. I know I will. And, so that's more or less what we're looking at, CZW. And shortly after that, they'll be taking a trip to Germany. They'll be back in Philly on the second Saturday. And they might be going to Germany after Philly.
I'm not sure. I don't know, bro.
But
no, it's before. It's before. I think
okay.
It's the 8th, and then they come back. I don't know.
All right. Well, either way.
By the way, Rodney Rush just sent me a message, and I don't know what it means. He said, "Don't forget about Billy Graham or something." I don't know what he means by that, but he said, "Don't forget about Billy Graham." Oh, I think he's talking about the 13 match. He was talking about the 13 match.
Oh, that's what I said.
He said, "Don't forget about the Billy Graham factor."
Oh, yeah, that's what I mean. Having Cult Fiction on your side, and, of course, the leader of Cult Fiction, Billy Graham, there's you know, quickly evens the odds, you know, no matter how many matches and everything that Danny's been through. He's going to be a factor, but Billy Graham on the sidelines over there, you know that it's not going to be an easy go. So, yeah, definitely, never forgotten about. But, so, all right, you got anything else to add, Eric, or?
We have 59 minutes left in the show. And,
okay,
what we're about to play is a pre-recorded interview with CZW wrestler Tyler Vertas, and when we come back, when that finishes, we will go straight into our NFL picks, and we'll call it a night.
Yep. Enjoy the
interview,
everybody.
So here's the Tyler Vertas interview.
All right, this time I'd like to welcome to the show a regular CZW member and a name I think you're going to hear a lot about in the future, up-and-coming guy in the business, Tyler Vertas. How you doing, Tyler?
I'm hanging in there. How about you guys?
Doing all right. I wanted to bring you on. What we do here, we, you know, do our best to promote the indies and all the guys in it, and, you know, all you guys work your ass off, and just I think the whole world needs to learn a little more about you guys, and that's what we're going to try to do.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I think indie wrestling is something that needs to be discovered by a lot of people. It's a great business. It's great entertainment. And it's the guys that you're going to be seeing on TV the next few years. So it's always cool to see those guys where they start. You know, your CM Punks, your Low Keys, just those guys that are now main players in the mainstream of wrestling. And I think I just think the indies are a great thing to follow. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, definitely, man. You know, for those that don't know, we'll start off, but, you know, where you were trained and who you're trained by, and you know, we'll go from there.
Well, I broke into wrestling in September of 2007, where I had my first tryout at Combo Zone Wrestling for the Academy, and right away was approached by DJ Hyde and said, hey, we want you to train here. Myself and Adam Cole, actually. Adam Cole's my legit best friend since 9 years old. He's the guy that got me into wrestling. He's the reason that I am where I'm at today. So it's just kind of one of those things to break in with your best friend's really cool thing. Anyway, we started training around November 2007. At this time, we were still seniors in high school. And I couldn't start fully training. I was an amateur wrestler from age 9 up until I graduated high school and turned down collegiate offers because professional wrestling was something that I wanted to pursue. So I started training full-time in March 2008, and by May of 2008, I had my first match. And in September 2008, I debuted in Combat Zone Wrestling, trained by DJ Hyde. Trained by John Dahmer as well. Have a lot of respect for that guy. Did some small training here and there with B-Boy. Some pretty extensive training with Sammy Callahan. Done clinics and whatnot with guys like Les Thatcher, Al Snow, Terry Taylor. Just guys that have such a wealth of knowledge of this business. So I've been blessed to be trained by some of the best guys in the industry.
Yeah, that's cool. What were some of the inspirations you had? Like, what, you know, what guys were you looking at that made you want to do what you're doing now?
Well, I never discovered the indies until I was about 16 or 17. When I was younger, everyone loved Shawn Michaels. Always loved Shawn Michaels. I was always impressed by the athleticism in the business. The smaller guys that could just go out there and just go nuts. You think back to the old ECW, WCW, WWF days, you know, those guys that they can just go out there and put on a hell of a match. Those were the guys that I followed. And eventually started picking up on guys that had amateur wrestling backgrounds, your Kurt Angles, your Benoits, Malenkos, Guerreros. Those guys are a huge inspiration to me. Say what you want about what happened with Chris Benoit, but you can't knock him for his work,
right,
ethic,
definitely.
For the thing that he's accomplished in the business. So guys like that are the people that got me really into wrestling. And by the time I had discovered places like Ring of Honor and Combat Zone Wrestling, I liked guys like B-Boy, just that hard-hitting style. Bryan Danielson's a huge inspiration of mine. So there's plenty of guys out there that have had a definite effect on me.
Yeah. I mean, I know, you know, you've been in the ring now, you know, professionally, and, you know, since you debuted now, about 2 years. What would you say is, you know, some of the favorite matches you've had?
Obviously, my debut match against Adam Cole, that was at the Chris Cash Memorial Show in 2008. That was one of my favorite moments in wrestling. Just as being best friends, the storied history in wrestling with Adam Cole and I have been awesome moments. Kids of Death 11, when I made him tap out and became the inaugural Wired champion. That was an awesome, awesome feeling. The first title I ever won in the business. I've gotten to be in the ring with, I've wrestled B-Boy, I've wrestled Sammy Callahan, I've wrestled Jon Moxley. Being in the ring with guys like that have been places, that have done things, that are credible, those kinds of moments really, really get to me as far as emotionally and just a sense of accomplishment. So I would say that I've had my fair share of moments that I could talk about, but the ones that I named there are definitely ones that stick out in my head.
Yeah. Well, you know, seeing as, you know, Adam Cole is, you know, such a great friend to you and you know, such a favorite match in the past, I think we're in for quite a feud ahead of us.
I believe everyone is too. If no one else caught up on it, check out czwrestling.com. Last Saturday, some things took place, and that was one of those moments where it was like I could feel everyone in the entire arena, just their hearts just sank. He slapped me and, you know, walked off and just totally swerved everybody. Got boos, we got chants. I mean, it was an incredible feeling that people are eating that up that much, and I am very. I think that people are in for something good in the next few months as far as the feud goes. So I think you're right on it.
Yep. And what are some of the goals that you have in wrestling?
I'd eventually like to make some sort of career out of professional wrestling. I got a lot of stuff going on as far as personal life. I almost have so much that you know, I never stopped going. Full-time college student, work part-time, and trying to fit wrestling in the gym and seeing my family and that kind of stuff. And it's tough to do that kind of stuff, but I would eventually like to make some sort of career out of it. Honestly, Ring of Honor is the place that I would eventually see myself in. I would definitely take any sort of offer from WWE or TNA, somewhere that's actually going to make you a living off of wrestling. I've had battles emotionally, like, hey, do I want to do this as a hobby, or is this actually a career? In the past year, I've realized that this is what I love to do, and so I'm just trying to make the most of it, see where it takes.
You know, you talked about some of your inspirations, so I'd imagine, you know, some of these guys are definitely on that list. But, you know, what other, you know, dream matches or, you know, dream opponents do you have, like, in mind?
There's so many guys out there, it's tough to say. I would love to, on a big stage platform anyway, wrestle guys like Moxley. Moxley is incredibly talented. I would love to get the chance to go back in time and see what would happen with certain wrestlers. I would love to wrestle Eddie Guerrero. Would have loved to wrestle Benoit. As far as guys on the indies right now, like I said, Moxley, El Generico seems like one of those guys that I would love to wrestle. Kevin Steen, Austin Aries, you can't say enough about that guy. Would definitely love to get the chance to lock up with him in the ring. So, I mean, there's so many guys out there. And, I would say right now, as far as dream matches, it would be guys that are established and guys that are known that are going to propel me to a performance that could potentially make me or progress my career. So that's basically my take on that, is just getting to wrestle whoever, whenever, just any guy that's going to be able to help me to learn and to help me to grow as a wrestler.
Yeah, I would definitely look to see any of those matches that you named. That would be really cool. Other thing, I mean, coming up where you did and, you know, when you did and everything else, you've obviously dealt with something I like to ask, you know, your opinions on working in front of probably the hardest crowd in the country, if not the world, is the Philadelphia crowd.
The Philadelphia crowd is extremely, extremely harsh, and you don't really understand them, because 1 month at CZW, they could be going bullshit crazy for stuff, and the next month, man, they could just be ripping everything apart. And I could never figure it out as a fan what the deal was, you know? Like, why are these people, or I shouldn't say people, there's always individuals in a crowd that just take away from everyone else, and people get sick of it. But it's something you just got to put past when you're in the ring. It's difficult, but if you can block out all the bullshit, you can have very successful matches regardless of how the crowd is. It's a feel kind of thing. Like you said, Philadelphia, you go across the river to Jersey, and those crowds are nuts. Those crowds go nuts for anything. And so it's I can see the reasons why Philadelphia has been, I don't want to say abused, but they've seen everything. I mean, you know, coming from the ECW days and CZW and Ring of Honor, and, you know, they've just seen so much. So, you know, they like any crowd, want to see something different. And I just try to deliver that every time I go out there.
Yeah, I got to agree with you. And, you know, as a fan myself, I could say a lot of times, I mean, I look around, and even like this past weekend, some of the boring chants 2 minutes into the match, I don't know what you expect to happen. You know, the guy come out with a handgun, or I mean, what do you expect to happen? I mean, the match has to start, it has to build, it has to go somewhere, but I don't even understand boring chants as the bell rings, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's a tough thing. Like I said, something that you can never figure out, but it's just something you got to put past you, and you got to go out there and do what you do.
Yeah, I just think, you know, a lot of it's done with no rhyme or reason. I'm a very critical fan, so I mean, if I don't like shit, I let it be known, whether it be on here or, you know, in the crowd or whatever. But a lot of this stuff, I think, is just done for their own personal, just to hear themselves talk, you know.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And you know, just as much as a wrestler likes to hear press about himself, so do the fans. So it's definitely a difficult thing to deal with in wrestling.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. I mean, I liked your match on Saturday. It was a little shorter than I, you know, expected, but I definitely thought it was a good showing.
Thank you. I'm happy with the match. I knew going into it that it was going to be fast, it was going to be quick. For people that don't know, I wrestled Ruckus, who is one of those guys, like I said, that has just been so many places, been on TV, been everywhere, and you know, it was very fun. It was almost a blessing to be able to wrestle a guy that's been that many places. But yeah, I was pleased with it. I know Ruckus did something to his knee during the match, and that's part of the reason that it got ended so quick. But, you know, that's things like that happen. As far as wrestling goes, people can say it's fake and all they want, but, you know, injuries are very, very real. I had an injury in April of this year. I fractured my foot doing a moonsault, and that took me out for almost 4 months. And believe me, it's not fun, and it does happen.
Yeah. You know, I mean, when you suffer an injury like that, I always wonder, too, when you go for that same spot, do you get nervous? I mean,
yeah, I do. I haven't done a top rope moonsault since then. To the outside and stuff, I have, but the nerves are there, but it's something you just get over. It was a stupid thing on my part, and it's just something you got to learn from. Whereas in my case, it was doing a moonsault. I didn't point my toes and had one of my feet curled, and I fractured my foot. You know, it happened. And that's carelessness on my part, and not really thinking about it, just thinking about what's coming up next, and you know, where I should be going and what I should be doing, and things like that happen when you don't concentrate on what you're doing.
Yeah. Do you think that injury held you back from getting booked other places? That, you know, because I mean, you and Adam Cole came up together. You're both tremendous athletes, and you know, he really started to get those phone calls pretty much along the times that you were hurt. Do you think you'd be right alongside of him? Like, I think you should be. Or?
To a certain degree, I do believe that I could have been in that position. Adam Cole's always put himself in the best position and always done what's best for him in wrestling. And that's part of the reason that he is where he is. All credibility to him. Whereas with me, it was more of scheduling conflicts and this and that. And but to a certain degree, I do feel that I maybe could be there. I was actually supposed to do a Dragon Gate tryout in the USA back in July. What do you know? My first match back in CCW after I fractured my foot. I wrestled twice that night, and if you go back and watch the DVDs, the second match I had my shoulder taped, that's because I popped it out. And like I said, things happen, and I couldn't do that tryout. For the better of myself, because I knew I had big matches coming up. Philly's Most Wanted, the tag match at Tanglewood 3, I knew that I had to be good to go for that and be able to go out there 2 weeks and give my best showing for Gabe and all the DG USA guys. I didn't feel that I was ready to do so yet, and said, "Hey, I live to fight another day." So I do believe to a certain degree, that injuries have held me back. It's been a roller coaster here, so to a certain degree, yes, it has.
Yeah, I hear you. What's your feelings on this whole, Jersey All-Pro, I mean, they're teaming up with CZW, but outside of that, they're also teaming up with New Japan. And, those guys are going to be coming over here and tryouts and everything else. I mean, are you going to try to get involved in that?
I would love to work for Jersey All-Pro. Great company, great history. They've made stars. They are one of the places to be, and I would love an opportunity to wrestle for them, to work for them, and I also think that them teaming up with New Japan, that's just a smart business move, as it is them teaming up with us coming up in Death 12, running the doubleheader show same day with Jersey All-Pro. That's going to draw a lot of fans. That's going to be a great day of wrestling. CZW's biggest event and Jersey All-Pro's biggest event of the year. So that's definitely a smart business move. I would, love to work with them and get into something with them. It's all about who you know and the networking and whatnot. But I feel that they're a great company to wrestle for, and they can definitely progress your career.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that doubleheader, man. I don't like doubleheaders because it sucks the energy out of half the locker room and the crowd, and it's such a long day. But this one here, man, I think it's gonna be something special.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've seen it happen with the doubleheader. Worried about people getting burnt out back in March when we did the doubleheader with WXW from Germany.
Right.
And like you said, there's always assholes in the crowd, but for the most part, they ate everything up, and that crowd was there for every single match. Like I said, doubleheaders can be a good thing and a bad thing, but I believe that we have a huge, huge opportunity coming up here in December with the Cage of Death and the Jersey All-Pro show. So I think it's going to be a good thing. I think it's going to be a great day of wrestling.
Yep, sure is. Eric, you got any questions?
What about working you worked with Devin Moore back in, I believe it was 2009 at an NBA show. You know, what was that like working with Devin? You know,
Devin Moore. Man, I can't talk about this guy enough. Devin Moore's great. People will say what they want about him, as they'll say about anybody. But Devin Moore's excellent performer. I'm actually feuding with him now in a smaller promotion, NWA Force One, in Jersey, which is, you know, that company is going to be blowing up. They're doing really good things. But I love wrestling Devin. It's always a fun match. It's always an easy match. He's a great talent. Working with him back in 2009, I was kind of freaking out about it, not going to lie. I was still really young in the business. And not to say that there's not things that I'm not going to learn now and that I'm not green or young. But Devin Moore, that match, I was a little bit skeptical about my own ability and say, hey, man, I got to have a good showing. And, you know, it wasn't my best match. It wasn't my worst match, but it helped me in the long run. I had Les Thatcher watch that match. He was actually going to clinic there. So he got to see that match. Of course, you know, like any old-timer, if we're calling spots in the back, he hates it. I really do thoroughly enjoy wrestling with guys like Devin.
That's cool. I got to check one of those Force One shows. They're really good. They definitely have when I first started going to indies, it was because I lived down by Seaside Heights and that type of thing. And I was going to the Donnie B shows, and he was running, incredible talent from Chris Daniels to the Backseat Boys, who in turn turned me on to CZW back in 01. And, just unbelievable talent. It had that same type of feel where you had a great amount of talent in front of a small crowd that was, you know, at a really like an upcoming, you know, promotion. And yeah, I think they're in for some really good things if they keep it up, man.
Yeah, like I said, that's one of those companies that I'd wrestle for them any day of the week. Force One is just a fun place to be. The long locker room is great. You know, they try their hardest to get everyone on and to try to have things make sense and to constantly build storylines. It's not just, you know, one or two and then guys are going out there and wrestling random people. It's always trying to promote different angles, different stories. And that's what everyone loves about wrestling. It's that drama. It's a soap opera. Everyone loves to see a story. It's like going into the movies. It's like reading a book. To build stories like that is what makes wrestling fun, and what makes finally when you get to that final match, and you know the guys staring each other down the ring, and the people just love it. I mean that's what makes wrestling so much fun, is that feeling.
Yeah.
So it's like I said, great promotion. I highly encourage everyone to check it out.
Yeah, definitely check them out. Anything else you got, Eric? Or
have you do you have any pre-match rituals?
As far as warming up, I do. Just going over stuff in my head, and constantly thinking about where I should be and what I should be doing. As far as that goes, it's pretty basic, just getting warmed up. But it's one of those things where you got to get yourself in the mindset when that match before yours ends and your music hits, you got to go out there and you got to want it, man. You got to love it. And, that's the mindset that I try and get every time. But, you know, to me, this isn't a job. This isn't just something I do. I do it because I love it. So in return to what this business has done for me, I always try to look at it that, hey, this is what I love to do. And to give back to that, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to have a hell of a match. And it doesn't always go that way, you know. Things happen, guys get hurt, little things happen, but in the end, that's what separates a good match from a great match sometimes. And hey, that's just how it goes.
Alright, Eric, if you don't have anything else, do you?
I'm thinking of, I had some stuff and then, like, all of a sudden, like, and my brain froze.
Oh, man. Come on, dude.
Okay, I gotta...
You can't be forgetting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Alzheimer. I got some memory loss
going on. I thought you guys do this for, I don't know, some kind of living or something.
Nah, shit.
A wish.
I got a question
now.
Okay.
If you had to say that you say that you had a choice. Say I'm stretching here. If TNA and WWE were offering a contract the same amount, who would you take? What deal would you take?
WWE in a heartbeat. I'm sorry, man, but TNA is just not doing it for me right now. I'm not going to point fingers or anything, and I honestly have not had the experiences myself, but I've heard from people that this is it's just not what it should be as far as the business aspect. It's hard to watch it's hard for me to watch TNA and really get into it. It's not like glory days back in early and mid 2000s now, but definitely WWE always been the place to be. And until the day that wrestling takes a shit, man, it's gonna be the place to be. And that's just the way it is. Vince McMahon has done an incredible amount. He can owe everything for modern day wrestling. So that would be the company.
Yeah.
And you know, if you're in this business, I'll say this, that I always had the trouble of realizing that, what was it? I want to make this a hobby or a career, or where do I want to go with it? And the thing about it is, if you're not in it to get into WWE, then what are you doing? You know, I realize if people love this business, then okay. And you want to do it, you know, every other weekend or once a month, yeah, that's cool, to each his own. But if you're not in the business to get as far as you possibly can, then it just takes away from everything that you do. And, you know, that's I guess that's how it is with anything. You know, there are certain guys that are so talented, that just don't want to take it to another level. And I don't knock those guys, but if you have the opportunity, by all means, should have been taken. Even if you fail at that opportunity, at least you know that you went out there and you gave it your all, and you know stuff just doesn't work out, and that's the way it happens. And you know you can look back on it and say, hey, I tried. It's better than not taking it and wondering what if. So definitely would take a contract from WWE over.
Yeah, that seems like a no-brainer to me. You know, I personally don't like either of the products too much, but
the product delivering, it's not delivering much. Their Nielsen ratings are tanking. So,
But business wise, if I was a wrestler, it'd be a no fucking brainer. So, the other thing I want to ask you is, you know, being you did come up in CZW and you didn't get trained through CZW. Now, obviously, you're one of the guys that, you know, makes CZW a well-rounded company. And, you know, from the start, from even in, you know, 01 when they started, the best of the best, you know, it showed that this isn't just some hardcore company. They don't, you know, just beat each other with stuff and go through crazy light tubes and off of balconies and shit like that. But obviously it exists, and they still are the best deathmatch company in the country. So did that make you nervous going into a company like that?
Absolutely. I considered training at other places. Ring of Honor and Chikara were my two biggies that definitely was, like, highly considering them. And, you know, when I saw my first CZW show was Best of the Best, and I hated it before that. And basically, trying to think how to word this, I was really, really, really into Ring of Honor, and actually started watching Ring of Honor when they had this feud with CZW, and at that time I was like, oh, CZW shit, they don't do anything, they're glorified backyarders, this, that, you know, the whole bit. But then I went to Best of the Best, completely blown away by everything, and even the hardcore stuff. I was like, this isn't all that bad. And when I first tried out for CZW, I had no intentions to train there and was nervous that I was going to get hit with chairs every practice or this or that. And as it turned out, I found out that that's not what it's all about. And I commend DJ Hyde a lot for trying to deliver a wrestling product, not just light tubes, not just barbed wire. I commend him for that, and I think in the long run, it has helped CZW since DJ's taken over, and it's no knock to Zandig. I have the utmost respect for that man, what he's done, but at the same time, I think people still, you know, since professional wrestling has been around, that they want to see wrestling. And no matter what crowd it is, if it's that harsh Philly crowd, if it's that easygoing crowd, they want to see wrestling. So I was nervous, but and I'm happy with my decision because it was what I could do financially as a high school student. And in return, I have gotten a great amount of success out of Alamed Zone Wrestling.
Yeah, definitely. Because it's always been more than just a hardcore company. A lot of people like to label it that way because they're one of the best at doing that. But, you know, which was the best of the best was the first show you did see.
Yes, it was.
No, which one?
I'm trying to think. That's the 7.
Was that the Ring of Honor one?
No, okay. It wasn't. Best of the Best 7. The finals would have been B-Boy and Joker.
Oh, okay. Oh, shit.
So that would have been June 2007, right before I started training. Right before I started training.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
So people say what
yeah,
they
like
want
I said,
about
I,
it. It's a good company to work
yeah.
for.
Yeah, man. Like I said, I started going to indie wrestling back in 2000 or something. It was all local. It was just something to do. It was in the area. I like wrestling. And, you know, I started seeing stuff. I mean, the back season, Rick Blade and Nick Burke were
yeah.
working, like, tag matches and crazy ladder matches that were better than the Hardy ones I was seeing on TV. And, you know, they had Christopher Daniels when he still had hair and all sorts of stuff. And they were like, hey, man, you like this? Go check out CZW. And it's, what was it, February 2001 was my first went there. I've been a regular since. And, yeah, man,
wow.
they've always been doing a good balance of everything. But, of course, the hardcore sticks out because it's shit that you wouldn't even dream of. But the other stuff is top-notch wrestling from then until now. And I think you're definitely one of those guys that are going to carry to the future is the same, you know.
Thank you. I mean, and guys like, I'm not trying to sound like a suck-up, but it's guys like you that make that company great to rest for because the one thing CZW has is a pretty faithful fan following. Guys just don't go there and for 2 years or whatever. It's, I mean, these are guys wrestling in Philadelphia for years. And have been with the company through all the ups and downs, and those are the true fans. Those are the people that keep coming back, and we just like to keep bringing more of those people in. So you know, another 10 years from now, people can still say, CZW is a great place to be. So,
yeah, absolutely. Eric, you got anything else?
Yeah, I actually do have one more question, and I don't know if it's a big deal with Tyler, but, you know, like, me and Jay definitely did talk about this, and, you know, when it came out, but, you know, the PWI 500 came out, and you were on the list.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on that?
Oh, man, that was a great feeling. Just an awesome feeling to realize that I have only been in this business 2.5 years, and I've been fortunate enough to be ranked as one of the top 500 wrestlers in the world. I got that call actually right when I made the decision. I can't do this Dragon Gate tryout. I was feeling real shitty about it, and got text out the ass that they released 400 to 500, and 410 was Tyler there at 1,000. That was just an awesome, awesome feeling. I only hope to keep moving up on that list, but it was really surreal. I picked up that issue on the way to the CZW show in North Carolina, and that was a surreal feeling to see my name there. You know, it didn't have to be a picture or anything. It was just seeing my name there was just an awesome feeling. And hope to keep building on that and constantly giving up year after year. So.
Did anybody like Sabian bust your balls because he ain't get into the PWI this year? I think he deserved to be in there. I just, you know, I just wonder, you know, locker room wise, if people actually get all hurt over that.
Yeah, No, not at all.
Good.
It's one of those things where the locker room's a family, and if it's not, it's apart. Everything falls apart. So the boys always have to be happy, always have to be tight. Doesn't have to be with everybody. It shouldn't be clicky. It's a family. You watch out for everyone. And you always defend guys that got to that position. Whether they were kissing ass, whether they were this or that, or they just busted their ass to get where they are, you always commend them. You always shake their hand, congratulate them, do whatever to show that, you know, regardless, you have... That's a huge, huge deal in wrestling. And now there's no hard feelings with any of that. People could say, like, oh, why is Tyler Bertot's 4'10 and Adam Cole's 4'17? I mean, that's like my biggest accomplishment.
I believe my co-host asked that same question.
I did have that same question. I had that.
He had that same question. I said, because he's damn good and he got hurt. And that doesn't make a difference.
I mean, I was like, what is going on here? And but no, I mean, in all seriousness, it's all good things that you always hear when it comes to something like that. Whether it's getting booked for big promotion, PWI, whatever, it's always good feedback. Always. It's a really cool feeling, especially coming from the boys, because they become part of your. I always thought that, you know, it would always be me and Adam in wrestling, and that was never going to be real close friends or whatever. But I would, oh my gosh, I love going to CZW just to talk to the boys, just to be with the boys. You know, and that goes for any locker room. Fun people to hang out with, and. You know, you build memories, you make friends, and that's one of the huge bonuses out of wrestling is looking back on those memories and thinking about those friends and, you know, realizing that, you know, these are people that you would have never thought you would have associated yourself with, but you're bonded by a common passion for professional wrestling, and that's a great feeling.
Absolutely, man. It's Eric. You know, I don't know. We got much more.
Well, we have one more question to promote to ask, and Tyler.
You got another question?
Well, it's for Tyler's purpose, and if you want to throw out contact info and how people can book Tyler Bertot for a wrestling show. Or, you know, something like that. How do you get in contact with
you? Anything you want to plug, promote?
Okay. Well, I have an email that's set up for booking. It's tylerbertot@yahoo.com. You can find me on Facebook. You can also get me at tylerbertot@blogspot.com, twitter.com. I'm on there. You can also check out stuff. A lot of times blogs and stuff are posted at czwrestling.com. I talked about Force One earlier. That's ForceOnePro.com, and also another company that I wrestle for that. If you're in the central PA area, I highly encourage you to come out to a company called Groundbreaking Wrestling. A lot of CZW guys wrestle there. Smaller company once again, but doing great things. So check them out at gbwrestling.com. Like I said, just any promotion I wrestle for, you can usually find something on me, but hit the email if you ever need to book me. You know, Twitter, Facebook, whatever. I'm a very easy guy to get a hold of, so thank you guys for giving me that opportunity as well. So.
It's not a problem. It's been a pleasure. You know, again, we definitely want to thank you for coming on, and we wish you the best of luck in the future and, you know, everything you get into. So,
absolutely.
You know,
thank you, guys. It was a pleasure.
It's not a problem, man. Good luck with, you know, all your matches you got coming up, that feud you got coming up in CZW, and I think everybody should tune in to that because I think it's going to be pretty big. So.
All right. Yep. I hope everyone follows it faithfully, and hope everyone really gets into it because I think we got good things coming. So thank you, guys.
All right, man. Yeah, on that note, see you later, Tyler.
All right, man. Have a good one.
Yep, you too.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, guys.
And we're back. I hope everybody enjoyed that interview. I thought it went down quite well. Tyler's a great guy. Definitely, you know, check out all this stuff coming up. Like I said, CZW this weekend, you know, it's going to be a big thing. We only got 15 minutes in the show left, so we got to get into this football real quick. Obviously, I'm a disgruntled motherfucker. You know I'm a Niner fan if you listened to the show before. So y'all Eagles can suck my dick, and that
okay,
goes for
okay,
my co-host.
Sabian. Okay, Sabian. Here we go with this shit.
No, Sabian likes the Eagles, so you, him, and everybody else
no,
with
but
the Eagles
the,
can...
No, but the fucking, you know, I mean, I love Sabian. Sabian's awesome, but...
Yeah,
you know,
he's a cool
don't
cat,
be coming off
but,
like Sabian here. This
but
is all
you
positive.
And everybody else with the Eagles could blow me and shit, and you know, no homo. Might as well you call me Sabian. I might as well throw a no homo with that because I ain't really
okay.
Serious. And we're going to have to, you know, my Niners is a fucking disappointment. So I'm looking at the draft picks just like I've been doing for the past couple of years. So anyway, first game, here we go. Let's go. First game, we got Seattle Seahawks at the Chicago Bears, and the Bears are favored by 6.5. You go ahead and start, champ.
Well, I got the Bears.
You got the Bears. I would say that the Bears would cover that as well. It's going to be a toss-up, honestly, because Seattle, they are a pretty tough team this year. So, but Chicago, I think defense will keep it. Yeah, we'll go with that. I'll go with that. Cause I'm kind of on a wire with that.
Second guessing yourself?
Yeah, I really am, because that game is really kind of, so, anyway. Then we got the Miami Dolphins at the Green Bay Packers. The Green Bay Packers are favored by 3.5. I'm going to go with the Packers because I think they're beastly. They're not winning every game, but I think they can handle them. And given only 3.5, I think it's a win by a touchdown.
And I got to, you know, stay with that and give, you know, go with the Packers as well.
Okay. Next game being the Kansas City Chiefs at the Houston Texans. And the Houston Texans are favored by 4.5 points.
And I'm going to have to go with the Kansas City Chiefs on this one.
Wow, this is getting brutal because I have the same
feelings. 3-1, baby.
Oh, I have the same feelings, and I don't think that Houston's going to do enough to beat KC by a touchdown. I think it's going to be a slugfest and it's going to be pretty interesting. So we're going to have to see. Next game we got...
Who do you got, the Chiefs? You got the Chiefs?
Yeah. Yes, I do.
Okay.
So that's why I said it's getting kind of rough because we got the same picks thus far and that's fine. But I've been losing, so it might not be fine for you. So then we got the Baltimore Ravens at the New England Patriots. And the Patriots are favored by 2.5 points. I'm going to go with the New England Patriots.
And I'm going to go with Baltimore.
All right. Next game up, we got the Detroit Lions versus the New York Giants. Now, the New York Giants are favored by 9.5 points. So what do you say?
I'm going to go with the Lions on this one.
And I got to agree because the Giants have been a sloppy team and Detroit has been a team that's been elusive. Like, they've been running away from getting a win this season. They, you know, obviously have played better than their record. We haven't. You know, when you're a team that's 0-5 or some shit, this is how you look. Look over on our side of the ball. Other than, like, that Saints game and, you know, things like that. Yeah, this is how you look when you're 0-5. The Detroit Lions have looked pretty impressive for being Well, I think they're 0-5, right?
Yeah. Yep.
All right. So, yeah, I think they're good enough that's going to keep the sloppy Giants from beating them by 10. So, yeah, I'm going to stick with Detroit, too. Next game coming up is the Atlanta Falcons versus the Philadelphia Eagles.
Hey, watch it there, buddy.
I thought I pronounced that right. No?
No. Okay. Fucking, you failed terribly.
Okay.
Not nice.
What can I do? So, I don't know. Whose pick is that?
No, who the hell is favored? Come on.
Oh, well, Philly's favored by 2.5.
2.5? I'm going to go with, Philly.
Well, that's shocking. Well, I got to go with the Falcons because,
The Falcons.
Yeah, the Falcons. Because Philly doesn't even know who the fuck they're playing the quarterback. They're like, well, we're not going to rule Vic out, but we got Cobb. And, you know, maybe Vic will come back and everything. I don't think it's going to be a good day for the Philadelphia Eagles. So that's just my pick. But then we got the Cleveland Browns versus the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Pittsburgh Steelers are favored by 13.5 points. I think that's a little much. I'm going to have to go with Cleveland.
And I'm going to bait and switch there, and I'm going to go with Pittsburgh. Ben Roethlisberger's back at quarterback. Enough said.
Is he? Okay. Maybe it is enough said. Maybe he's just going to get in another car wreck, and it's going to be on the field. But then we got or hit on a minor cheerleader or some shit like that.
Fit four. Yeah, well, okay. Don't want to get started. Off air. We can talk about that off air.
Then we got the San Diego Chargers at the St. Louis Rams. And the Chargers are favored by 8.5 points.
And I'm going to go with the Chargers.
And I'm going to go with the St. Louis Rams.
Really?
Yes, I am. Because 8.5 is a lot of points. St. Louis is another one of those low totem pole teams who have looked pretty good at times. And, you know, their new quarterback is looking at, you know, a lot of people are looking at he might be that rookie of the year.
Colt McCoy? No, Bradford, excuse me.
You know, and There's definitely a corner that they can turn and actually make enough of an impact to maybe not even win the division. But, you know, possibly. I mean, our division isn't that, you know, I'm sitting in that division at 0-5, so believe me.
Fucking
division
terrible.
Not diesel. And they could turn a corner and do some pretty decent things just as far as, you know, look out for the future type thing. So I think 8.5 points is a lot. San Diego this year is not only blown out teams, but they've gotten beaten by the fucking Oakland Raiders. So I just think week to week it really depends on how they come out. And at home at St. Louis, I just say they don't beat them by 9, that's all. So that's why I'm going to go with St. Louis. New Orleans at Tampa Bay.
What's the point spread?
The point spread is New Orleans favored by 4.5.
And I'm going to go with the Saints.
I'm going to go with Tampa Bay because these fucking guys are killing me in New Orleans. Every time I put their fucking name down on the sheet, they might win the game, but they don't cover. They're just murdering me. There's two teams right now, and I don't think the other ones, no. The Bengals are off this week, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the other team that's fucking me that I don't plan on fucking putting their name on a sheet again.
So they're fucking you, right? They're fucking you.
Yeah, no homo.
No homo.
But they're fucking me on this pool all the time, man. Fucking New Orleans fucking Saints, man. Even when I bet against
kill them
my
all,
own
back
team.
On top. Think about it.
Yeah, right? Even when I bet my own fucking against my own team and put New Orleans down, they still beat my team without covering. So my team fucking lost, and I didn't cover. What the fuck, you know what I mean? And they fucked me like three times after that. You know what I mean? this shit is becoming like a way too reoccurring thing going on with New Orleans and Cincinnati on the points
well,
and everything else.
Good.
So fuck
good.
The motherfuckers, you know what I mean? Y'all won y'all title. Good luck, man. See you in like 20 years or some shit when you rise up again. So then we got the New York Jets versus the Denver Broncos. I think that's going to be a shootout of a game. And is this your pick?
Who's favored? Who's favored?
Oh. Well, the Jets are favored by 3.5.
And I'm going to go with the Denver Broncos.
And I'm going to go with the Jets.
You said that with so much confidence, bro. You said it with like so much confidence. You're like, yeah, I'm going to go with the Jets.
Yeah, I mean, the Jets, I don't know, man. They got some shit, but they're one of those on and off teams, too. It's a light switch, man. They could blow a team up, and then they could show up and just look like, we don't even know what we're doing here. Like, we showed up for fucking, we want to do laps in the pool. Like, where's the pool? What the fuck is going on? And then they're just all over the place, just letting shit in, you know. Anyway, so I don't really know. I'm hoping the Jets show up that I know, and I'm going to go with the Jets. So, then I got the Oakland Raiders at my San Francisco 49ers. Why are my Niners favored by 6.5 when we haven't won a goddamn game yet? Like, how do we get, like, oh, yeah, 7 points, seriously. Like, 2 weeks ago we scored 14 points. One was like a defensive, it was like a block punt to a fucking touchdown. And the other one was an offensive touchdown. That was in the first quarter, and then we fucking never scored again. And last week, we just got fucking trumped. So how do we get 6.5 points against anyone? Just because we're home? Is our stadium that nice that it gives us fucking 6.5 points? Okay, well, either way, I'm going to go with my fucking team because it's hard not to, and the Raiders haven't really showed themselves as a dominant force. They've showed that they have they have bright lights. They have glimmering days, you know what I mean? Like the sun shines on a dog ass every once in a while, like they be saying. But that's about it. So I got to go with my guys. If they're facing most other people, believe me, I'll be against my team again this week because I'm pretty angry. But
we got 2 minutes
go
left in the show, by the way. 2 minutes left.
All right. Yeah, we got 2 minutes and 3 games. So go ahead, man.
So I'm going to go with the Oakland Raiders.
Okay. Next game being the Dallas Cowboys versus the Minnesota Vikings. Minnesota is favored by 1.5. What's your pick?
Dallas.
Dallas?
No, wait. Are we picking Minnesota Dallas right now?
Yeah.
I'm going with Dallas. I made a mistake. I was confused. What's the point spread on that? 1.5?
1.5, Minnesota.
I'm going with Dallas.
Yeah, I'm going with Minnesota. I'm hoping Randy Moss gets a bunch of points and Brett Favre dies and Tavares Jackson passes for 290 yards after Brett Favre dies on the field. So my next game is the Indianapolis Colts versus the Washington Redskins. And the Colts are favored by only 3.5 points. And I think that's my pick. I'm going to go with Indy. 3.5 isn't that big. So
I'm going to go with Indy as well.
Hard bet on Donovan, right? then at Monday night game, we got the Tennessee Titans at the Jacksonville Jaguars with the Tennessee Titans favored 2.5 points.
I'm going to go with Jacksonville.
And I'm going to go with Tennessee.
That's nice.
All right, so there you have it. That is our picks. We put them in for this week. That's what we got right there. So the only other thing that I really, really want to add, because we have a lot of shit in the works, and we have a lot of shit that you guys are you're gonna, you know, we're busting our ass. We're doing a bunch of crazy shit. And next week you have to look forward to an over 2-hour interview that we had done this week, last night, matter of fact, with one Bull Payne. And that's going to be what you have to look forward to next week. And I have to look forward to hopefully more than like 6 fucking wins in a football pool. And I think all of you guys are going to be very happy, you know, including myself, if some of these fucking picks come through. So, I don't know if you want to add anything else, Eric, before we get out
of
here.
Well, the show is on, but it's not streaming, so this is for archive, you know, purpose only. But everybody check it out, and thank you very much. And for me, Eric Williams, J. Cat Morris, you are the man. Kick ass every week. And,
know what it is.
You know, everyone check it out.
Yeah, motherfuckers, we'll check you out next week. Thursday, 9:00. Don't miss it. You in for a long one this next week. We got some shit. You're going to see, man. It's going to be crazy. Check us out. And we got announcements. By then, we'll have some shit that you're really going to be, your mind is going to be blown. You're going to listen to this crazy-ass interview. You can hear other stuff that, you know, the future is bright for us, man. We going up. From here, we going nothing but up. All right? Check us out next week. Like you said.
Good night, everyone.
Peace.